this is something that I've been thinking about, and we haven't recorded for a while, so I got a lot to talk about. So,
okay.
I talked to Juice about ROH a little bit, and ROH is just consistent, but you never see like casual WWE fans. If you said ROH, they'd be like, "Who is it? Would TNA be better off? Would they be as good or better than ROH?" Or could they be better than ROH with the consistency and stuff? Or do you see them just kind of fading
overall,
away?
I think they have overall better talent than ROH. Overall, there's individual pockets of ROH talent that are just awesome. The one thing ROH does is they know who they are. They're not trying to book a 7,000-seat arena or a 20,000-seat arena. They're going to a place that's going to book 1,000 people, 1,500, so it looks big. Impact, when they do their baseball stadium tours, they might have 500 or 600 people show up.
Yeah,
go
that's
to a smaller place. You know, the wrestling crowds are down a little bit. Even on the WWE, there's been a lot of stuff about SmackDown crowds. They had to move people around so the cameras would look like it was full. And that's what WCW did for a long time. But know who you are and work on what you are, and then try to build from that. But I think the guys from ROH, they just got through with an event at Sam's Club in Las Vegas with Death Before Dishonor. They don't try to overbook. They don't say, "Oh, let's go into Las Vegas and let's book the MGM or the new thing, and we'll get 20,000 people to come in." They know that's not going to happen. They go to a place where they can get 1,000 people in there, maybe 1,500 to 2,000. That's what they're booking. That's what makes them more successful at this time.
You and Juice are going to take over, and you're going to talk about No Mercy. Is there any other news or rumors or anything you wanted to bounce off me before I bounce? Dave, I'm getting all hip with my talk. You know, I'm like trying to fit in better. You know, is it working?
If you start rapping and doing hip hop, you're off the pot. We're not going to do that. No, you can't do that. You can do some old time country or old time rock and roll.
But John Cena raps.
Yeah, and you know, John Cena might be done. That there's a lot of people saying John Cena might be retiring. I will tell you this. You know how you and I have talked about how dangerous what these people do are and how much respect we have for the performers. Bully Ray, Bubba Ray Dudley, was injured really bad at the Death Before Dishonor. There was a spot where Jay Briscoe turned on him and threw a table into his face. And he wound up in the emergency room. And from what I can glean, I'm just going off some like CagesideSeats.com and things, that Bully is saying the injury is significant enough to his head that doctors are saying, no, you need to give this up. So we might be seeing the last of him.
Oh, wow. Wow. Goodness. You know, it's dangerous stuff, man. That's when we were talking about war earlier, you know. Some of the stuff that I saw made me cringe a little, because I'm like, you know, you guys need to be careful, because Super D took a DDT wrong and almost ended his career.
Right.
And, man, if you get guys in there that don't know what they're doing, it's just a recipe for disaster. Not only does it make for a non-entertaining show, and it makes the fans just go, what are you guys trying to prove? You know, it makes for a dangerous situation.
Sometimes it's the booking. It's sometimes that the wrestlers don't have enough time to really look and see who's going to call the spots, and they don't have time, especially in independents, how to build a storyline. It's really tough for them.
Yeah.
You know, my hat's off to the indies. We love the guys, it's a tough business, but it's an entertaining business, especially if like guys like us that grew up on it.
Yeah. So real quick, before I let you go, just want to throw out, there's a couple events coming up in Salt Lake. UCW Zero has an event coming up October 7th, I believe it is. And incarceration is going to be all in cages.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're having an event at the Complex again in Salt Lake City, where we saw Rey Mysterio Jr. And they're having quite a few people there. I don't know if you saw their flyer for that event.
Yeah.
From some guys from Lucha Underground and some guys from AAA and stuff. So if you're in Utah and around here, UCW always puts on a good show, and we like to give them credit on the show all the time. So,
and quickly, a lot of the guys from UCW are now doing stuff in Colorado, also Portland and Washington and Northern Idaho. They travel in Nevada. So a lot of the UCW stars that we have been talking to and seeing are starting to branch out now, and I think that's great for everybody concerned.
Cool. Yeah, it looks like here – let me just read this off real quick to you. Blue Demon, L.A. Park.
LaParca.
LaParca. Mm-hmm. LaParca. I guess he doesn't go by LaParca. Is that a patented name or something?
Yeah.
I don't
know. No, yeah.
Super Crazy, Marty the Moth, and
I saw Tejano was going to be there.
Okay, yeah. Okay,
yeah,
you're right.
We're going to talk about him a little bit later on when we talk about Lucha Underground.
My gosh. Tell Juice again thanks for his – for sharing his – is a great, great opinion. I thought that was a really good discussion, you know, on TNA and what's been going on overall. And I appreciate your time as well and for putting up with these gosh darn technology things that we're trying to work out,
right,
being long distances apart. So,
well, we're getting better.
Yeah, we're getting better. Well, so along with my new hip jargon, would it be okay to what is it? TTFN?
Just be careful with what the F stands for, okay?
Maybe I should just quit trying to be hip and cool and just be me, right?
Just be you, my man.
Cool. Well, thanks, Dave, and okay. You guys don't spoil anything on No Mercy for me.
Okay.
Because if I listen to this. Well, wait, I better watch it before I listen to this.
That's right. Okay. You sure better.
Well, thanks, Dave. Thanks, Juice. Thanks for putting up with me. And appreciate you guys. I hope you guys have a great night. And enjoy the rest of your pod.
Turnbuckle Trash fans, you can stay in the ring with us by following us on Facebook and clicking that like button on our Facebook page, Turnbuckle Trash. Or you can follow us on Twitter, @TurnbuckleTrash. And in case you got any comments, suggestions, or questions, you can email us at WPFpod@gmail.com. Again, that's WPFPOD@gmail.com.
The main event, the grand finale, if you will, the stars were aligned once again in Hollywood, in L.A., Staples Center, bringing out No Mercy.
Mercy!
It was a good one. Like, if you ask me, that was a good one. One soon-to-be, well, will be a Hall of Famer, might be calling it a career. And you know what? And I'll tell you what, I was wrong on a couple matches. We'll actually get into that as well. Dave, where do you want to start?
Well, let's start at the very beginning. It's a really good place. It sounds like The Sound of Music. The pre-show had Elias, who I think is going to be a pretty big star. He defeated Apollo Crews. They're setting up a mid-level feud now with Elias and Titus O'Neil. And I just love Titus. Always had that worldwide brand. But Elias with his guitar and his singing and just got a great look. I think he's going to be a pretty big guy. So Elias won that. Then the first match of No Mercy was the Intercontinental Championship match, The Miz and Jason Jordan, which The Miz won with help of The Miztourage.
Well, yeah, you didn't think The Miz was going to do it on his own, did you?
No.
It's been a while since the IC title has actually meant something to the crowd and to the WWE, but finally it's back and it's meaning something, and I think The Miz has done a great job of bringing that in and bringing light to that of the importance of the Intercontinental Championship, and that's why I love that Miz is holding it, because, you know, people care.
I'm not going to mention the website because I don't want to give them any kind of bad publicity, because we make mistakes too, but they were saying, where was Maurice? Well, Maurice is pregnant. She doesn't want to be around by the ring.
Yeah.
They announced it a couple of weeks ago. Maurice is expecting a baby. The Miztourage was involved. And Jordan cut a little promo at the end where
he wants a rematch.
Wanted a rematch.
Think he'll get it?
No. Not until after the little program they're going to run now with The Miz and Roman Reigns.
How about Raw? I mean, we're talking about No Mercy. You might as well just add in the Raw with it, because Miz might have another feud coming up with an unexpected guest.
Yeah. When Roman Reigns came out and they were talking about the match, and of course The Miz with his ego, he kept on saying that he was really the guy, and Roman Reigns took offense. So they're going to have a match for the IC title coming up on the Monday Night Raw that is going to be the second of October, I believe. And I think what they're setting up is a reunion of the Shield. They're going to do The Miz with The Miztourage and then The Shield, all three of them together at the next pay-per-view for Raw. I think that's what they're setting up. I don't think it'll be switching over yet for Roman to get the IC title. I think they got bigger fish for him to fry.
Irony is the main chemical in this whole thing, because if you remember, what was it, 4 weeks ago, Cena calling out Reigns, saying that the U.S., you felt like that you treated the U.S. title like it was a demotion. How is he going to treat the IC title?
Right.
This will be interesting to see how he treats it and how he holds it. And if that is true, you know, well, about him treating the U.S. title as a demotion, then be funny. It'll be interesting to see how he, if he does win the IC, how he takes that as well. But I don't see the Miz losing it for a while. And by the way, I am all for the Shield getting back together. It is about time.
Ambivalent. That's the word I would use.
Okay.
I don't care one way or the other. Finn Balor and Bray Wyatt, as Finn wins without the demon war paint against Bray Wyatt in a pretty good match.
Did Finn really, like, do you think he broke a rib or something? Because he actually looked like he was in pain.
Yeah, when Bray Wyatt attacked him before the match actually began.
Which really kind of angered me. I didn't like that.
Yeah. I don't know. You don't know what's a work or what's not. But on Monday Night Raw, Finn Balor was attacked by Goldust. I don't know if you saw that or not.
Yeah.
Goldust says, you know, I'm not a victim, because he mentioned the Bray Wyatt's victims, and Goldust and Finn Balor had a match. And then after the match that Finn won, it was kind of a flashback for me, because you started hearing the child singing, he's got the whole world in his hands.
That's really creepy. They got to quit doing that.
No.
Don't watch that with the lights off, by the way. It is really creepy.
Yeah.
Tag team titles on the line, and two of those could be joined forces here sooner or later. Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins do beat Sheamus and Cesaro. Cesaro took a nasty bump, being flung to the corner of the apron. Mm-hmm. He misses the apron and hits his face on top of the darn pole.
And his teeth.
And his eyes. So, by the way, you can follow us on Turnbuckle Trash. I tweeted out a video on Turnbuckle Trash, on our Twitter account, of the WWE showing a video of them stitching back his lip together.
Mm-hmm.
And this is Cesaro in a nutshell. They stitch it up, and it didn't feel good. It didn't look good either. And he sits up, and the trainer goes, "You okay?" And he goes, "Yeah. In fact, I feel better." Turns around and grins right at the camera. He took a nasty bump. That looked like it hurt. And they showed it a couple times.
He is so talented.
Knocked out two of his front teeth.
Yeah, he's going to have reconstructive surgery.
And we know what he's asking for Christmas.
Yeah. Never thought of it that way. But he is so talented. He was carrying that match so well until this injury occurred. And then he still was a great part of that. They had that great spot where right towards the end when they did that big move when Sheamus and Cesaro teamed up and did that big move at the end. It was just really great.
Got him a two count, right?
Yeah, got him a two count. Man. And then things went haywire, and Ambrose and Seth Rollins still retained their title. So I thought that was pretty good.
So how does that work now? Because if they do plan on putting a Shield team together, these guys got to lose their title, because I don't know if you can have a tag team champs with a third man will.
I think they could still do it. You know, it depends on if they're going to bring in another tag team to go against Ambrose and Seth Rollins right away. Cesaro's not. He's going to be out for a couple of weeks. You got to admit that. And then you add on top of that, Jeff Hardy is injured.
Yeah.
He tore his rotator cuff in a match a week ago. In that match where everything was, I think it was a fatal four-way, and he tore that then. So he's got to have surgery. He's going to be out. So the Hardy boys are out. Are they going to team up Jason Jordan with Matt Hardy? Are they going to go ahead with the storyline and let Matt be broken or awakened or whatever they're going to call with it? Because they can't use broken right now. But I think they could do the six-man thing and still keep them as tag team champions.
Women's Championship. I actually didn't really pay attention to this much. I did watch the highlights of it. Alexa Bliss does retain her title, defeating Bayley. Sasha Banks. Jax did get a great pop from the crowd. I thought it was awesome.
I thought she got the biggest pop of all of them. Even when Sasha Banks comes out and Bayley and Emma, which Emma is a talent, and you know, she needs to be pushed more than she is, but I like the role that she had in this one.
Bliss does hit the DDT on Bayley for the 1-2-3 count, retains her title as the women's champion.
Yeah.
I think she's holding it well, to be honest with you. She does a great job. She's a star. Big one here, and this actually might be the end of a career, believe it or not, and we'll get into this a little bit more. Roman Reigns in a match that saw probably, I'd say, six counts that I swear the ref hit the three count before they even kicked out, does defeat John Cena by a pinfall. If I remember right, and I don't know if I counted this correctly, I think I saw six finishers. I want to say two from Roman Reigns, four from Cena.
How many Superman punches? How many AAs?
Oh man,
and the STF
and the one off the top of the rope you thought was awesome. Going to end it from Cena to Reigns. Reigns kicks out. I think the closest one. I swear to this point, as I rewatched the match, that I felt like that Cena got him. it was that close of a three count. I think it was his second one attitude adjustment, and Roman's kicked out barely. And I mean, if he did within a tenth of a second of the third count. Great match all the way around. After the match, John Cena, of course, is the last one in the ring. Gets a nice applause and a standing ovation from the crowd, well deserved. Gets his name chanted. Dave, the question now becomes: is John Cena done? And from sources I'm hearing and from things I'm hearing, this is it.
Raw Talk. That's the little talk show they do after the pay-per-view with Raw. They call it Raw Talk. He was on there, and he was saying, you know, he's 40 years old. He can still go, but can he go at the same pace that he used to? Kind of hinting that it might be the end, but also it might be that he'll just come back and wrestle occasionally, be a part-timer. Come back for big events and special challenges.
See, I don't know if the crowd can eat that up, though, of John Cena being a part-timer. The Rock, I mean, he did get nice pops every now and then, but I think the crowd kind of got sick of it. Of you coming back, WrestleMania, leaving for 7 months, coming back again, coming back for SummerSlam. I mean, just can't do it.
Here's the scenario. Let's say that there is a babyface. Let's just say it's Finn Balor. And he's being jumped by the club. That's, you know, the old Bullet Club. And he's being attacked every week by these two or three wrestlers. And he challenges them to a tag match. And he's going to have a, quote, mystery partner. And the mystery partner is, you can't see me, Mr. John Cena. That would work. And it has worked in the past with several wrestlers who wanted to slow their roll, as some people would say. He could come back as a special guest referee, and maybe something would happen, and he'd come back the next pay-per-view for a one-match deal with, like, Kevin Owens. And, you know, things like there's ways that he could still be pertinent and relevant in the WWE while still doing his movies and TV shows and reality shows and all. Man, he does so many things. How does he keep up with everything? Unreal.
Cruiserweight Championship.
Enzo Amore. Neville pretty much dominated most of the match until Enzo Amore did his Bobby Hill impression. that's my purse!
In the Wachobies!
In the
Wachobies.
In the Wachobies. Yes, he kicked Neville right in his Wachobies.
By the way, you told me before the show, you have a good drop for this.
Yes. I decided.
I gotta hear this.
I'm just a little bit weird here, and I kept on every time I see Enzo. And the last couple of weeks, he's been kicking people in the
Wachobies,
and it just reminds me so much of King of the Hill and Bobby Hill when he was kicking everybody in their Wachobies. So I've renamed Enzo Amore to Enzo Amore, aka Bobby Hill.
You want to tell your parents how you won your fight?
You mean before or after I kicked him in the testicle?
My name is Enzo Amore!
You didn't kick another person in the groin, did you?
My name is Enzo Amore, and I am a certified G and a bona fide stud!
Play any kickball today?
Why? You up for a game?
Bottle boom! Realest guy in the room! How you doing?
I don't know you!
And you can't that.
Are you gonna kick me in the crown jewels?
Am I gonna do it? Yes. When am I going to do it? Don't know. Could be tomorrow. Now!
Yeah.
Unreal, huh?
Oh, can we have that clip as like part of our intro, please?
Yeah.
Please, please, please.
And did you see the tweet I put out in the Facebook post with Bobby Hill kicking Hank Hill in the Wachobies?
Oh, man, it's so good.
And put in, my name is Enzo Amore, and you can't teach that. So, I don't know. He's now a heel on 205 Live. He's the Cruiserweight champion. And honestly, he's saving that program.
Oh,
their
yeah.
ratings have gone
I'll
up
agree.
By a third.
Sure.
With Enzo there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
The grand finale of it all, the wrap up, the put it on a bow. Brock Lesnar, in actually surprisingly dominating fashion, beats Braun Strowman, retains his title as well. I'm really stunned by this. I thought Strowman was going to get the win. There's been rumors about Brock Lesnar going back to UFC to fight another match. And not only did Lesnar beat him, but if you actually watch the match, it wasn't as close as the score indicates kind of thing.
I thought it was kind of a letdown match to be
sure.
If you wanted to,
six suplexes, is that what it was, by the way?
Six suplexes. That was the count. Six. Both of them got it some pretty good.
It was
strong,
one single freaking F5 that beat him.
Yeah.
Though. Like one. You can take six suplexes, but not one single F5.
Yeah. I thought it was
something too. I just didn't like.
Yeah, it could have been booked a little bit more competitive, and then having something happen at the end where maybe Braun tripped and then put him in, you know, then got him in the F5 or something. I just think, I'm okay with the finish with Brock winning, but I didn't like, it only lasted like 7 minutes.
Yeah, it wasn't a long match.
It wasn't a long match. It was pretty physical. I thought kind of a letdown. The match of the night was the tag team championship match.
Absolutely. I'll agree with that.
It was one of the best matches of the year.
Though that John Cena Roman Reigns, didn't fall far behind them. There was at least three times where I thought, and I swear the ref hit the count on three.
Yeah.
This kind of leads us to SmackDown here.
Yeah, SmackDown last.
Hell in a Cell's coming up next, and every time I think Hell in a Cell, I'll never forget, and I don't think you will either. 97, Undertaker throws Mankind off a 16-foot Hell in a Cell, lands in a freaking announcer's table. You know, breaks an arm practically, damages his leg.
And then when he fell through the top
and
of
then
it.
He, and then unexpectedly, wasn't supposed to, gets thrown through a freaking cage itself or the cell itself.
His teeth went up and
chair,
did his mouth
yeah, yeah, chair lands on his face. Then he gets thrown into Tic Tacs for even better punishment. Hell in a Cell is really Mankind's, Mick Foley's tribute, if you will, pay-per-view. Some good ones coming up, though, if you ask me.
Kevin Owens against Shane McMahon a couple of weeks ago on SmackDown when Mr. McMahon was there and Kevin did that headbutt on him and actually brought blood. I mean, that was a spot that Vince said, yeah, let's go ahead and do some blood. And he cracked.
Kind of surprised by that too, which is great. I'll welcome it.
Yeah. So that's going to be a good one.
New Day, Uso, tag team title.
Yeah, the Uso.
That should be good in a Hell in a Cell.
That's gonna
that should bring out some really good pops, some really good...
They're bringing
spots
out the best
bumps
in each other. I mean, those two teams, they have such
they work
great
together.
Chemistry. I love it. It's going to be very interesting.
Dolph Ziggler. I don't know if I'm a big fan of this. His whole imitation, copycat, if you will, and he just recently did The Undertaker. I'm not a fan of it.
Well, Chris Evans called me on the telephone. A guy from Chris on the Mat, which we'll probably have him on the next pod.
Hey, whatever he speaks is scripture.
Yeah, he was so upset that Dolph Ziggler came out as The Undertaker. But the glorious one, Bobby Roode, comes out and challenges Dolph to a match at Hell in the Cell. And I think you're going to see Dolph and Bobby Roode in a couple of matches over. And then we might be seeing the last of Dolph for a while. Because I understand he's not re-signing his contract.
The U.S. title could get really spicy. I mean, you already have AJ Styles and Baron Corbin, but then add in the fact of Ty Dillinger.
Yeah, the perfect 10.
That really could be something good.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to make that a three-way match.
I think
what.
They should.
I think they should.
And I think they, and I honestly think they will. I think they'll base it off what they're seeing already and if we can get enough steam.
Yeah.
So. Go ahead.
You've been watching SmackDown Live with the promos with Jinder Mahal.
A little bit.
On Nakamura.
Sure.
Very controversial. I mean, we're talking mainstream papers have been picking this up, mainstream news media. Jinder Mahal did a promo in the ring a couple of weeks ago with some racial stereotypes. And, you know, did he step over the line? I'm not going to make an opinion known on this. I know that the crowd started chanting, "That's too far." And then this week on SmackDown Live, Jinder says, "Yeah, I might have taken it a little too far." That was his way of saying, you know, I was just doing what the writer said. And he kind of came back. He said he has respect for Nakamura. But then he went back to making fun of him with the pictures. You know, Nakamura, when he grimaces, frankly, that man is ugly. I mean, I am no beauty, but man, that man is ugly.
So I was watching, this is back, I can't remember if this is 2011 or 12, but remember that, I can't remember his name, but he was from the Middle East, and he wanted respect, and he wanted a title match. Uh-huh. He came in, and Stone Cold Steve Austin was the general manager that day. He was a special Raw general manager. Uh-huh. And he made some comments during the segment that were probably racial tension. Nobody said a dang word.
It's the time.
But because of where we are and what we are dealing with at this point in time, that is what, I mean, that's when it becomes, it's all, see, that's what I get bugged with, is that it's all of a sudden too far. When 5 years ago it wasn't to you guys, but now all of a sudden, because of what's going on everywhere else, we all of a sudden want to get sensitive. And so
okay, let's just do this. We won't get into this too much, but Ajay, where were you born?
India.
India. Now I'm from Tennessee. Ajay, how tall are you?
5'2".
5'2". I am almost 6'1". But we are great friends. We come from different backgrounds. We respect each other's opinions, and that's where we've got to get in this country, to where when somebody makes a joke that might be a little incentive, laugh it off. You know, people can make jokes about me all they want. I don't care. I'm a big old dumb Southern boy, and if they want to make jokes about me, fine. We just need to lighten up in this country. And whether Jinder went too far, and I think probably with the Mr. Miyagi comments,
Is he on the fringe? Absolutely. There's no doubt. But look, 1997, I can't tell you how much crap was said on the air that I've been watching the last 3 weeks that I was just kind of like, laugh.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy crap, they could get away with that on USA Network at that time?
That's the difference. 1997, 2017. I mean,
we're talking 20 years. Yes, right. I absolutely understand that. But everybody wants to go back to 1997 wrestling. Everybody wants to go back to where
we're at. Attitude, yeah.
Yeah, they want that attitude on the fringe. Maybe we're going too far, but who gives a crap, because it sounds so good and it's so much fun and it's bringing so much excitement. But then when someone does it, then we're all freaking out. It's bring it in, you know? Like, look, there's a difference between a professional athlete saying what Jinder said, and a difference between that and Jinder Mahal saying what he said.
Yeah.
Look, we talk about how it's fake all the time. Well, then why are we freaking out about that, right?
That's a great point.
So,
thank you, sir. Okay, coming up next on Turnbuckle Trash, an interview I conducted with the Super Destroyer, an independent wrestler who's had a really interesting career. And we talked at Comic-Con in Salt Lake City. We talk about some of the wrestlers he's been in the ring with, a wrestler who helped him out when he first started that recently passed away, and his thoughts on Bobby the Brain Heenan. It's all coming up on Turnbuckle Trash.
Hey, MSR.
Yay, what's up?
Hey, do you like geeky things?
I love geeky things, Chunky Larry.
How much do you love geeky things?
I would say at least a 7.
A 7? That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
I mean, I have a few places on the internet I go to.
Well, the one place you want to go on the internet is geeksoftheindustry.com, because it's got geeks at the beginning.
Oh, that's a good point. Geeksoftheindustry.com, you say. What is that about? What is that?
Well, you know, it's got a little bit of everything. It's got cartoons, movies, music, video games, wrestling. You know, anything that's geeky that you're into, you'll probably be able to find at geeksoftheindustry.com.
I can watch all of those things?
No, no, no. It's a podcast website. You listen to things.
Oh.
You can download them from the website, or you can, you know, subscribe to one of the shows on Stitcher or iTunes.
What was that website again?
That's geeksoftheindustry.com, my good friend.
I'm going to go right now.
Yeah, sorry, my brother. You've got to get your own.
That move on his feet, the stray cat. Is he ready? Oh. Let's go to the match, please.
I'd like to get old Hacksaw Jim Duggan's 2x4 and do a little work on you.
Tag me, please!
Oh, you call that a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
All the fans here, it's just two guys rolling around in spandex together, so...
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Hi, everyone, it's Dave Denton. We're at the Salt Lake Comic-Con with Turnbuckle Trash, talking about professional wrestling. And this is a guy that I met, I think, at the first Comic-Con. He was actually wrestling at this event. He's the Super Destroyer, and we just had such a great time just bouncing off each other while he was in the ring. I was outside heckling him, and we talked backstage and stuff. Super Destroyer, Super D, thanks for joining us on Turnbuckle Trash, man.
My brother, it's so good to see you again, baby. Yeah. How are you?
I'm doing great. You're doing great, too. So a couple of years ago, you had a really bad accident in the ring, and you broke your neck, and you thought your career was over. And then you contacted me on Facebook, and you said, man, I'm getting back in the ring. I want to know your feelings that first time you stepped through the rope and you took a bump and you said, man, I can do this now.
At first, it was pure and utter terror for fear that if I took another bump, it would break again. But, you know, in my gut, I thought, I can do this.
Yeah.
And the first bump was just pure elation. I smiled like an idiot for probably 20 minutes, knowing that I could take a bump. I felt good taking the bump. I felt good back in the ring. It's like coming back home again.
The Super Destroyer is a masked wrestler, and we're not going to give his true identity here because he is from Parts Unknown, as we always say.
That's right, baby. That's right. Parts Unknown, baby.
But Super D, over the years that you and I have talked a few times, we've done some interviews with you. I wanted to talk to you about your early career. When you got into doing this crazy business, what got you started and who got you started?
You know, being a young kid in like early 80s, first time I saw Hulk Hogan and King Kong Bundy, I thought that is something I want to do. It's always been a lifelong dream from a child, you know. My parents told me it's just a phase, you'll grow out of it, you'll get a real job and be, you know, a contributing member of society. And I contribute in my own special way in spandex and the mask.
Well, you know, I know that one of your mentors recently passed away, Gator Wolf. Who had a brief run in the WWE, you said that he was one of your mentors. What did he mean to you?
I met Gator in 1999, and he took me in and he taught me wrestling. Mm-hmm. He actually gave me formal instruction and a regiment to learn how to be a wrestler, to take bumps and to do moves and a lot of crowd psychology, learning the craft. And I'm indebted to him, and a lot of Utah wrestlers are as well.
Yeah.
He's the one that helped me get my foot in the business, and in turn, I've taught that on to others.
Now, Super D, in your career, I know you've been in the ring with several people that have gone on to really big careers. Let's talk about some of these people that you've actually been in the ring with or had an interaction with.
Wow, there have been so many I've worked with that worked behind the stage with, and worked with booking and getting in contact with them and wrestling with. John Cena, before he went to WWE, he worked a tour with us. Just an honest-to-goodness, humble, down-to-earth guy.
Yeah.
Just a really nice guy. Really enjoyed working with him. I worked with the Navajo Warrior out of Arizona. Great guy. Hawaiian Lion. Worked with Marty the Moth from Lucha Underground. Helped him break in. He's a great guy.
Yes, he is.
Superfly Snook I worked with on several occasions, and it's, you know, hard to see him pass.
Yeah.
And then I've met a lot of legends like Bobby the Brain Heenan, who we just recently lost, and that was Pretty sure that was a big blow because I loved Bobby the Brand Baby.
Yeah, I know that you posted a picture that you had with him. You got to work with him and know him. I'll say this right now because I work in the radio industry and I love comedy. His comedy work that he did with Gorilla Monsoon, I was just watching on YouTube. He could have been a stand-up comic. That's how talented Bobby the Brain was.
Oh, absolutely. You know, think of Bobby the Brain, him and Gorilla Monsoon, that, to me, was the greatest commentating pair ever. Mm-hmm. Even the little vignettes they do, it was pure classic gold, just the way they worked with each other. And when Brain passed, I kind of look back to when Gorilla Monsoon passed. And Bobby said a few words on Nitro, he was on at the time. And you could see him getting choked up. Yeah. Because those two really, really cared about each other. They took care of each other. And they were together for a long time. And now they've been reunited back in the big ring of the sky, baby.
Now, you've been in Utah most of your career, most of your life?
Yeah, I was moved to Utah from California when I was 10. And I've been here ever since.
Now, I lived in Idaho back in the mid-70s and early 80s, and I kept on hearing rumors about Jimmy Superfly Snuka living here. Is that correct?
He did. He had a school in where I lived, my hometown of Pleasant Grove. Uh-huh. And I went down there a few times. And Jimmy taught me a lot of the basics. I couldn't afford to go to his school at that time, just being a high school kid. But he helped, encourage me along to be a wrestler.
Well, I know that outside of wrestling, you work a lot with children. And I find that with a lot of wrestlers that you are involved in your community, you're involved with different causes. And I thank you very much. I know that you just love working with kids.
You know, the kids are the future. We have to take care of the next generation. A lot of promotions we work for, like currently Epic Pro Wrestling, they do a lot of charity shows for Toys for Tots or the Utah Food Bank. You know, just a way to give back to the community.
And Super D, one more time, I wanted to ask you a little bit about your career now as after the broken neck. How is that career going for you now, and how often do you get to perform and be the Super Destroyer?
Well, I've worked a few shows, really unadvertised, because I've got a lot of personal friends and family that would absolutely beat me to death if they knew I was getting back in the ring. But it's been fantastic. The guys in the business have been good, welcoming me back. And it's amazing to put the gear back on, to put the mask back on. Do that strut one more time, baby.
Okay. Why, after the broken neck, why do you get back in the ring?
I hear that so many times. People ask me, what are you doing? You know, you've done everything you wanted to do. You've wrestled. You've been a champion. Why do it anymore? It's for the pure love of the game, baby. You just can't take it away. You can take the wrestling away from the business, but the business is always a part of that person. And I knew that I had to be involved. I took, almost 3 months off just to rehab before I even considered even going to a show again. But you get that itch. No matter how long you're out, the itch comes back, and you've got to get back in. You've got to get back involved, whether it's wrestling or managing or helping just train the next generation of wrestlers.
Now, I think with the first time that you and I met, you talked about the original Super Destroyer. Talk about him one more time, because I think people don't realize how when an old school wrestler passes on the baton, it's got to be something special.
Absolutely. The Destroyer, Dick Baer, just a really nice, humble guy. We talked quite a bit about working in the mask and, getting over the tunnel vision to put the mask on and not be able to see your full peripheral. But he just listened to me and he answered my questions, and I had 1,000 of them. But he was just the coolest guy to just talk with me and give me his time. And it was just invaluable that I try to, pass on to the next generation.
Now, one more question about Marty the Moth Martinez. I'm wearing a Lucha Underground shirt right now. I think that's my favorite promotion right now. I love Lucha Underground. I know by talking to Marty several times myself that he's one of those that's just like you. He asks a million questions. He's one of those that just loves the business, isn't he?
Oh, absolutely. He loves the business, asks a lot of questions, and he's become extremely popular. People love him. He'll go to things like this Comic-Con. We did a panel last show.
Yeah.
People are drawn to him. He has that magnetic personality. That's just fantastic. And then he will take time out, and we talk a little bit after the panel. and just he's an awesome guy.
Yeah, he is. I remember just a couple of weeks ago on Lucha Underground, he was in the ring with Melissa Sanchez, and he had his little lunchbox, and he took his sandwich out of the lunchbox and smashed it into Melissa's face. So I IM'd him and I said, did she know you were going to do that? She never knows what he's going to do. The thing that I love about professional wrestling is you've got the physicality, you've got the storytelling, but you guys don't really take yourself so seriously anymore. It's great.
You know, if it stops being fun, it's time to get out of business. And for me, it's still fun. I still smile like an idiot in the back and put my boots on and put my gear on. Finally put the mask on, it's just, you feel like you're indestructible.
You know, I think you and I were talking about this before. Once you've been an entertainer, in whatever form you are entertaining, it gets in your blood and you just love whatever you're doing. I find it on my radio show and I know you find it in the ring.
Absolutely. Once you get behind the mic or get in the ring, it's a part of your world. It's a part of your life. It's who you are. You just can't take that away and just walk away and do something else. It's not that easy. If you really love what you do, it's always a part of your life.
The one and only, the Super Destroyer. Thanks for being with us on Turnbuckle Trash, man.
Thanks, baby. Always a pleasure.